Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. It's important we spend our life walking with the Lord, because when we walk in the Lord, we walk in His blessing and His favor. And so today I want to talk about living in the favor of God, or the blessing of God. You know, when we have someone's favor, that means they look well upon us and they'll help us out and do things for us. And the most important person we need favor from today is favor from God. We need God's blessing in our life. We need God's help in our life. We need God's deliverance and God's healing in our life. So how do we live in God's favor? And so I want to look at some six different things, if we have time, about how to live in God's favor. And the first thing is, you must be born again and become a child of God to live in God's favor. You know, it's not just being saved from your sin. No, when you're born again, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and asks how he can get into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is a religious man. He goes to church. He knows the word of God, but he's not sure he's going to go to heaven. And Jesus says, the only way you're going to get to heaven and get into the kingdom of God is if you're born again of the Spirit of God. And then when you're born again, you confess your sins, you repent of your sins, you accept Christ as your Savior, but you become born again. The Spirit of God comes and lives in you to help you live out your Christian life. You know, the Bible says we know we're children of God because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I know in my spirit, not just because of what I do, I know in my spirit I'm a child of God. The Spirit of God lives in me. The Spirit of God works through me. See, when you become a child of God, you don't live like the world anymore, because you're a child of God. You live in God's kingdom. You do things God's way. And that is how we come into God's favor. And so, If you're not a child of God today, if you've not been born again, you need to accept Christ as your Savior and be born again and give your life totally to God. And I just want you to pray this prayer after me. Just repeat this. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Change my life. Lord, I give my life to you. Allow your Spirit to come into me. And to begin to change me so I become more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you've prayed that prayer, you need to get together with some other Christians who are born again. How do you know if you're a born again Christian? You act differently. You walk in love, peace, and joy. You are good to people, helpful to people. See, there's a change that happens when we're born again of the Spirit of God. And so that's the first step to coming into the favor of God. The second one is, we need to cultivate a life of worship. You know, when you cultivate a garden, you dig up the soil, you remove the weeds, you add water, you work at developing your garden. You put fertilizer in there. The more you work in your garden, the more it produces. And so we need to cultivate these things if we're going to receive God's favor. And we need to cultivate a life of worship. That is, worship is praising and giving God glory. Not just in church, not just singing a song, but in our whole life. We live a life of worship. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to a woman in Samaria, and she asked Jesus a question. She says, where are we supposed to worship? We Samaritans believe we're supposed to worship on this mountain, and you Jews believe you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. Where are we supposed to worship? And in John 4, 23 and 24, Jesus says, but the hour is coming and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such as worship him. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus was saying, it doesn't make any difference where you worship. There's no particular place to worship. No, he says, you worship is how you worship. You worship from your spirit. You just don't worship to sing a song. You know, many people like to sing songs, and it's great to worship in church. And it's easy worshiping in church when you're with other people. But God wants us to worship at home, worship on our job, Worship when good times. Worship when bad times. See, when I face a problem and a challenge in my life, the Spirit of God rises in me and I begin to worship God. Because when you worship God, you release the favor of God in your life. Many of us spend time asking God for things, but we just need to worship God. God always knows what we need, and God wants to bless us because we are His children. But we need to develop a life of worship. A person, when I think of worship, I think of David. David was a man of worship, and David worshiped God wherever he went. David worshiped God when he was a shepherd boy. David worshiped God in the field where he worked. David worshiped God in the house of the king Saul. He worshiped God before the king. Now, some people want to worship in public, but they don't worship God in private. See, you grow in worship as you worship God in private. It's when David was worshiping God and taking care of his sheep that God enabled him to kill the lion and the bear. Why? Because the favor of God was on him in his work. See, you begin to worship God in your workplace, not just in church. David worshiped God in his field. David worshiped God as he worked. David worshiped God as he was a shepherd. David worshiped God in the house of the king. But David also worshiped God when King Saul got jealous of David and started hunting David down to kill him. David still worshiped God. When David was hiding in the wilderness from Saul, David worshiped God. See, David worshiped God in the wilderness. David worshiped God before his enemies. David worshiped God in every situation he was in. Because David was a worshiper. We need to develop a life of worship where worship just rises in us. That is, we give God glory and praise. We exalt God no matter where we are. We don't complain. We exalt God. Because when you exalt God, God becomes greater in you and his power is released in you and he begins to meet your need. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we see here that David had been living in the wilderness hiding from Saul. And there were 400 men that had come and joined David, and they had trained together, and they were his mighty warrior men. And they moved into a city called Ziklag with their families. And so these 400 men and all their wives and children and everything were living in this city called Ziklag. They would go out and attack the enemy and come home at night to Ziklag. And so one day they went out to attack the enemy and they defeated the enemy. When they got back to Ziklag, another army had come into Ziklag and they had stolen everything, taken their wives and children, stolen everything they had, and burned Ziklag with fire. And so when the soldiers got back from the war, they were greatly distressed because everything, they had lost everything. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." So David is grieving because he's lost his wife and children. He's lost everything he had. All his friends that are with him are grieving because they lost everything they had. But his friends, instead of seeking and worshiping God, they talk about Dave stoning David. They blame David because David is their leader. Oftentimes we get in trouble. We want to blame our leader. We want to blame God. No, we don't blame people. We worship. But it goes on to say in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord." See, David didn't blame his men. David didn't get angry at God. David didn't get discouraged. No, David began to worship God. And as he worshiped God, he began to get strengthened in his spirit. He began to worship God. "Lord, you're worthy of praise and glory. You're worthy of honor, Lord. I worship and glorify your name." See, David began to worship and exalt God. See, you don't have to sing a song to worship God. You just begin to worship. You begin to exalt the name of God. And as David began to worship God, his spirit began to rise in him and began to strengthen himself in the Lord. And faith arose in his heart. And he saw God and said, "God, what should I do?" And God said, "Pursue the enemy and I'll give you back everything the enemy has stolen." So he encouraged his men and they all went after the enemy and defeated the enemy and they got back everything the enemy had stolen from them. See, it all began when David began to worship God. See, God wants to bless you. God wants to restore you. God wants to do mighty things in your life, but you have to worship God. Don't just complain and grumble. People go to church and they worship, and then they go home and complain and grumble because they don't have this and they don't have that and they don't have the other thing. They're always asking for help, always praying and calling. No, begin to worship God. When David worshiped God, he not only encouraged himself, but he encouraged everybody else too. And all of them went together and got back what the enemy had stolen from them. See, God's favor comes through worship. One other example I want to look at worship is in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas had been preaching the word of God in Ephesus, and they were arrested and thrown into prison. But before they were thrown into prison, they were beaten. And the Romans, the way they beat people is they had a whip that had 9 long leather cords on it. And the end of each leather cord was a piece of sharp iron. And so when they whipped you, that those 9 leather thongs would come on your body, and those pieces of iron would go into your body, and they would tear your skin off and tear your flesh off. So Paul and Silas had been whipped with this whip, and so all their skin was off their body. Their back was bleeding, their sides were bleeding, and then they were put in chains and thrown into a dark prison. And the prisons that the Romans had were not nice. There was no toilets to use. People just went on the ground, and they were locked in chains. They couldn't even stand up. They had to sit down. They couldn't move. Their back was paining them. They were in darkness. Everything was terrible, and they had been preaching the word of God. And they could have gotten discouraged, but in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "And at midnight, when it was darkest, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and what sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them singing." And know who else heard them singing and praising God? God heard them singing and praising. And because God heard them singing and praising, God came down in power and shook that prison. All the prison doors were open, and all the chains fell off all the men. And the prison warden, he came running down thinking everyone escaped. And Paul and Silas said, "Don't worry, we're all here." And Paul and Silas were able to lead that prison guard and his whole family to the Lord. Why did the favor of God, why did deliverance come? Because in the midst of crisis, Paul and Silas began to worship God. I can just hear them in that deep, dark prison where everything was terrible. And they began to lift their voice. "God, you're worthy. God, you're glorious and worthy of praise. I exalt your name. I magnify your name because you are glorious and mighty." See, they didn't have any instruments. They didn't have any music. They didn't have any microphone. They didn't have anybody singing with them. They were singing by themselves, and they were glorifying God. And as the praises of God rose up before the presence of God in heaven, as worship rose up before the presence of God in heaven, God came down in power and set them free. And not only set them free, set all the prisoners free. And the warden of the prison, he and his whole family got saved. See, God wants to cultivate a life of worship where you begin to worship God wherever you are. Because in worshiping God, you come into the victory that God has for you. The second thing we need to cultivate is cultivate a life of prayer so that we learn to pray in every situation. Not just pray in church, but pray all the time. Paul said to pray without ceasing. We pray about everything. You know, prayer is not just asking God for things. Prayer is talking with God. See, you may talk to God, and God talks to you by His Spirit. God, what do you want to do in this situation? Maybe you're having a hard problem. Maybe you're facing a challenge. And maybe you have a need or something. Say, "God, you know, I need something. What do you want me to do?" Because God has something He wants you to do. Faith is an action. So it's not just praying in faith. It's doing what God told you to do. And as you do what God tells you to do, God will answer your prayer. So you need to say, "God, how do you want me to do this? What do you want?" And as you ask God in prayer, God will speak to you in His Spirit. He will just put an idea in your mind what you should do. And as you do that, your prayer will be answered. And I think of one specific story in the Bible, and that is the story of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. Now, Daniel, he committed himself to serving God. In Daniel 1:8, we see that Daniel was taken a prisoner, a captive and a slave, and sold into Babylon. But Daniel had an opportunity to learn and work in the king's court. But to do that, he had to eat meat offered to idols. And it says in Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And it said, now God brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief that was watching over them. See, Daniel made a decision not to compromise himself. See, Daniel was a Jew. He served God. He obeyed the laws of God. And he was taken into Babylon, which was a country that was idolatrous and wicked. And all the food that everyone ate was offered to idols first. But Daniel believed, according to the word of God, they shouldn't eat food offered to idols. Now, if Daniel took a chance, he took a risk. He knew if he refused to eat the food, he could be thrown out and killed because he was just a slave. But no, Daniel refused to compromise himself, and Daniel stood firm on God's word, and God gave Daniel favor. And because Daniel refused to compromise, God gave Daniel favor, and Daniel grew in favor with the chief man, and Daniel grew in favor until Daniel grew up until he became the second most powerful man in the whole country and nation of Babylon. And other people became jealous of Daniel because of the favor of God that was upon Daniel and the wisdom of God that was upon Daniel. And so they made a plot to take Daniel down. They knew Daniel would not compromise in anything. They looked to try to find something wrong with Daniel. You couldn't find anything wrong with him. The only thing they could find with him is Daniel was faithful in serving his God and in worshiping God. So they went to the king of Babylon. They said, oh, king, you're a great king. You pass a law that anyone that is in your country, if they worship anybody else but you, that you're going to throw them into lion's den. And they knew Daniel was going to worship God because Daniel refused to compromise himself. And then the king would be forced to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And so in Daniel 6:10 says, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he knew that the king had signed this law not to worship anybody else but him. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room, with his windows open to Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he was accustomed since his early days. See, Daniel had a life of prayer. Daniel prayed ever since he was a young man, ever since he was a child. He prayed 3 times every day. No matter how busy Daniel got, he prayed 3 times every day. Every morning, noon, and night, Daniel prayed. He had a life of prayer. Prayer wasn't just something he did when he was in trouble. He prayed all the time. And when he prayed, God gave him wisdom. God gave him visions. God gave him dreams. God helped him interpret dreams because Daniel had a consistent life of prayer. He did not compromise on that. He was a busy man. He was the second most powerful man in all of Babylon. Yet Daniel still, in all his busyness, still prayed 3 times a day. So when he heard the law was passed, you couldn't worship anybody or pray to anybody except the king, Daniel, he didn't go home and hide. No, he said he opened his window toward Jerusalem because Jews believed he should pray toward Jerusalem because Jerusalem was where represented where God dwelt in the temple of God. So Daniel opened his windows, and when he's opened his windows praying to God, the bad men that were jealous of him, they were down below and they saw him praying and worshiping God. And so they went back to the king. Oh, king, you know, you have a man that's the most powerful man that serves under you. But, you know, he has disobeyed you. He's disobeyed your law. And he was praying to his God rather than praying to you. So now you are forced to throw him in the lion's den because he has disobeyed the law. And even though he was a king, he had to abide by the law. So the king was forced to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And the king loved Daniel. And the king said, oh, Daniel, I pray that your God is able to deliver you. And so they left Daniel in this hole filled with lions all night long. And in the morning, the king went and looked in the hole where the lions were. And there were all the lions laying there, and none of them had even bitten Daniel. And Daniel said, oh, king, God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Why did this happen? Because Daniel had a regular life of worship and prayer. And out of that life of worship and prayer came God's faithfulness, came God's favor, came God's blessing. See, we run around trying to do this and that and other things. We try to seek the favor of people. We try to seek help from people, but our help does not come from people. Our help does not come from man. Our help comes from God. And we need to develop and cultivate, as children of God, we need to develop and cultivate a life of worship and a life of prayer. Because when we seek Him first, then He'll provide everything else that we need. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in your prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to pray? What do you want me to pray? And begin to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in worship and lead you in prayer. In your home, in your business, in your shamba. Worship God. Pray to God. May you develop a life of worship and prayer. The third thing you need to develop, and that is you need to cultivate a life of generosity, a life of generosity, a life of giving. See, because God blesses people who give. You not only give your money, but you give your time, you give your talents, you give yourself to serve God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Luke 6:38 says, Jesus says, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure you use to give is the same measure God is going to give back to you. So you give a little, God will give you a little. I run into people all the time, say, oh, I'm too poor to give. I don't have any money to give. Well, the reason you're poor is because you don't give. You know, one day Jesus was at the temple, and rich people were giving lots of money at the temple. And there was a widow, and she gave three little mites. That was a little bit of money. And she gave that little bit of money, and Jesus said, look at this woman. She gave more than all those wealthy people because she gave everything she had. She was a poor woman, but she gave everything she had. See, I have found in my life that when I give, God blesses me. And the most important time I need to give is when I have a need. Because when I have a need, I know that only God can supply my need. So instead of going to somebody else to supply my need, I go to God to supply my need, and I give to God. I give the little bit I have to God. I give my time to serve God. I worship God. I exalt God. I bless other people. I encourage people. I use my talents for God. My life belongs to God. My life does not belong to myself. And so all my money belongs to God. All my talents and giftings belong to God. And when we're faithful to what God has given to us, then God will bless us with more. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 25:15-30. We call it the parable of the talents. And it talks about a rich man who was going on a long journey, and he called his servants to him, and he gave one servant 5 talents, another servant 3 talents, and another servant 1 talent. And he said, go and invest these talents, and when I come back, I need a report of how you've used these talents. And a talent back then was about $1,000. So for the one servant, he gave him $5,000. For the next servant, he gave him $3,000. And for the last servant, he gave him $1,000. And they were supposed to use this money, not to eat the money, but they were supposed to use this money and do business with it and develop it and make a profit. So when the man came back, they would have more. And so the man went on his journey. When he came back, he called the servants back to him. And he asked the servant who had 5 talents, what did you do with your 5 talents? And the servant said, here's your $5,000 you gave me, and here's another $5,000 that I've made with that. So here's $10,000. And he gave the $10,000 back to the wealthy man. And so the wealthy man said, because you've been faithful with little, I'm going to give you much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then the man who received 3 talents, he came and he said, what did you do with your 3 talents? And he said, I made 3 more talents. Here's the $3,000 you gave me. I'm giving you back $6,000 now. And he said, good and faithful servant, come into the joy of your Lord. Then the man with 1 talent came up. And the king said, what did you do with your 1 talent? What did you do with your $1,000? Oh, he said, king, you know, I know that you're a harsh man, and so I was afraid of losing my $1,000, and so I hid my $1,000. Here, I'm giving you back your $1,000. And the king said, "Oh, you wicked man." He said, "Take his 1,000 from him and give it to the man who has 10,000 and throw him out because he's not worth anything." Why? Because that man gave him 1,000 to use for his to and to return it to him with more. See, God has given us money. God has given us talents. God has given us time. And God wants to use these things for his purposes, for his glory. And if you just hide what God has given you, some people say, "Oh, I'm so poor, I can't give." No, God wants you to invest what he has given you into his kingdom. Because God will bless you depending how you use the money that God has given to you. But our responsibility is to give in obedience to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit tells me to give something, I give it in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Because God is the one that's going to reward me for giving. And God's going to reward you for giving. If you want to get out of need, you know, I have been times where I didn't have money to even pay my bills. And yet I took the little money I had because I knew the money I had could not pay my bill. I took the little money I had and I gave it to God. And God paid my bill because God is able. And God is able whether he's in America or Africa or any nation in the world. God is able because God is powerful and God is wealthy and God has everything that you need if you will cultivate a life of giving your life and everything you have to God. And we're running out of time here, but the last one is cultivate a life of service. That you give your life to serve God in Matthew 20, 25 through 28. And Jesus called the disciples to him and said, "You know that the rulers of Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have great exercise authority over other people. Yet it's not so among you. He who desires to become great among you, let him be the servant. And he who desires to be first, let him be a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." See, God doesn't call us to rule. No, God calls to serve. No matter who you are, what your position is, God has called you to serve others and cultivate a life of service because God blesses you when you serve others. See, because when you serve others, you're serving God. When you work at a job, work at your job the best you can. Serve your boss because God will reward you for it. If you serve in church, serve faithfully and God will reward you for it. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord and God will bless you for it. And so today, God is calling us into a greater place. God wants us to give us his favor in 2024. But you need to cultivate a life of worship. You need to cultivate a life of prayer. You need to cultivate a life of generosity, giving. You need to cultivate your talents. And you need to cultivate a life of service. Because God wants to do great things in and through you. Lord God, we thank you today that our trust and confidence is not in the world. Our trust and confidence is in you. And Lord, help us to cultivate a life that's pleasing to you so you can walk in your favor. I pray your blessings upon every person hearing this today. Lord, I pray that you'll just minister this to their heart. May this get deep into them and change their attitude about everything, Lord God. And as a child of God, they will live as children of God and walk in your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you to invite others to listen to the Voice of Hope every Sunday. If you miss a program, you can always go to thevoiceofhopetoday.org. That's my website, thevoiceofhopetoday.org. And I post my programs on the website so you can listen to them later or your friends can listen to them. May God bless and keep you. And Lord willing, I hope to see you next week on The Voice of Hope. Bye-bye.